This is the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur Podcast, session 27.
Welcome to the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur Podcast with Alyssa Dare Nelson, where we blow up the myth that you're meant to be well-rounded and independent. Here, we uncover what makes you uniquely awesome while also giving you actionable insights in to fill those gaps of the not-so-awesome. You are perfectly lopsided. Own it. Now let's dive in.
Well, hey, welcome back to another live coaching session on the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur. I am so excited about our guest today. I have had guests on that are, you know, experts in bookkeeping and some other areas, but you know, money. Right, guys? Money. It's hard. It's one of the areas of stress for entrepreneurs. It's also the reason that we went into businesses so that we could have financial freedom. And our guest today has really become an expert in the financial freedom aspect, not just making money, you guys, but actually having that financial freedom. And I'm really looking forward to introducing you to him. So let me give you a little bit about today's guest. Our guest today is Rennie Gabriel. Now, what sets Rennie apart from the others in the financial services industry is that he has gone from the bottom to the top. So this is, you know, like, he gets you. He's owned multiple businesses and held most of the financial industry licenses and professional designations. But more importantly, he walks his talk, following the same steps in his award-winning, best-selling book, Wealth on Any Income. Rennie became a multi-millionaire in less than 10 years, starting from broke at the age of 50. Rennie lives on his investment income, which is like all of our dream, right? And he donates 100% of his book, training, and coaching profits to ShelterToSoldier.org, where dogs are rescued from deadly environments and trained as service animals for post-9/11 soldiers who have returned with PTSD and traumatic brain injuries. So cool. Rennie, you are such an amazing human. Thank you for taking the time. Welcome to the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur. And why don't you tell us a little bit more about you?
Oh, gee, thanks, Alyssa. I'm glad to be on the show. And I have no idea what to say about me because the bio that you read was so perfect.
So how did you find yourself? I would love to hear a little bit more about your story. You know, we've heard these sort of rags to riches story. And that's a lot of people's sort of hero story, we call it, right, in marketing. But your story, I would love to hear, you know, how did you, you know, a lot of us find ourselves broke, right? When we go into business, we put all of our money into the investment and the launch of the business. And then we're like, oh gosh, here we are. This isn't what I intended. Why am I broke? I should be, you know, plentiful. But you made a different choice and you figured out how to get yourself not just out of that debt, but into like a multimillionaire in 10 years. That's a huge accomplishment. So can you give us, you know, the rundown of how that happened?
Well, I'll start from the standpoint of having two divorces. And my first marriage actually lasted about 20 years. We met in high school, but it was a constant situation where I was not able to have her live in the manner to which she wanted to become accustomed. And it didn't matter how much money I earned, she could outspend it. And it got to the point where I was just dead inside. And thank goodness she wanted a divorce, because that was one of the best things that ever happened in my life. And got married a second time. That lasted about 10 years. And both ended in divorce where, you know, it cost me money to get out of. There was a business failure. I had an art gallery business at one time, and that was in the 1980s, where the economy it was as bad as what happened in 2008. I mean, I'm trying to sell artwork to companies to line their walls, and they're more concerned about paying their phone bill. So
funny, right? I guess I'm glad that their priorities were such.
I mean, you know, they were the right priorities. But my mom passed away and I had inherited $17,000 and sunk that in the art gallery business, lost that, had about another, I don't know, 18, 20,000 of credit card debt, and literally ended up having to collect soda pop bottles and cans to gather enough money to buy food for my kids.
Yeah.
So I know what it's like to have no money. The house was about, 3 months behind on my payment. The bank was preparing to foreclose. And I'm collecting, like I said, soda pop bottles and cans just to get food. Mm-hmm. So it was a situation where I had decided this is not how I want to live my life. And it's not, I'm not going to say I'm intelligent, you know, but I guess I'm as smart as the next guy. I mean, even though I failed high school math, I'm laughing about what the thought that crossed in my mind. I fail high school math, and then when I get out of college, I decide to go into a business that uses nothing but math.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that make sense?
But interestingly, and the math that they teach us in school is mm-hmm. not the math that helps us to be thriving business owners. Am I right?
You're absolutely correct. Failing geometry or trigonometry has nothing to do with making money and having a thriving business. And fortunately, that is what I learned. I could fail high school math and become a millionaire, and it yeah. does not prepare you for real life.
Now, you mentioned having, I just made this decision. This is not how I want to live. Do you remember the moment, or was it a culmination of moments?
There was a particular moment. It was when my first wife and I, she wanted to buy something. I don't remember what it was, but it was about $1,800. We didn't have the money. We went to one of those kind of usury loan places that will loan you the $1,800 at some
astronomical rate.
Yeah, ungodly interest rate. And they collateralized everything we own, our furniture, our TV set. And I'm sitting there thinking, this doesn't work. I mean, we got the loan. I mean, I paid it back. But the idea that if I didn't pay them back, they would take away our couch. Mm-hmm. It was sort of like when I'm signing those papers, that was one of the moments. That was one of the moments saying, this is not how my life is going to be. It wasn't, I was okay collecting soda pop bottles and cans. I would say that was a second area where this just, I'm going to do anything I can not to have this kind of life.
Yeah, that's perfect. I think this is a great time to bring up what your strengths are, what your strengths finder themes are, because those moments, right, that define us, that are our personal rock bottom, are different for everybody. And it's different in large part because of a lot of our strength themes. And then how we dig out of that hole is very often related to our strengths as well. So your top five strengths finder themes are learner, which is a theme all about the process of learning, not necessarily that you are you're learning for the outcome. It's really an interesting theme because I think, well, I'm a lifelong learner, but I've got learner fairly low on my list. It's because I just like to know. I don't like to actually the process of learning, but learner is all about the process of learning. Belief is purpose-driven. And man, do I hear that. And ladies and gents, as you're listening, you know, that all of the profits go to a charity. Talk about purpose-driven, right? And then responsibility at number three, which is a theme that's all about not only taking personal responsibility, but taking personal ownership, psychological ownership over the things that you say yes to. Number four, activator. Activator is a theme that is all about getting started out of the blocks, right? So it's a great sprinter. It loves to get moving. And then at number five, strategic, which is what's the next move? It's really good at planning the next move and creating a plan B in case plan A happens to fall through. So you find yourself at this low point. And what was that process for you for digging yourself out of that? And then not just digging out, but creating massive abundance and wealth from that spot?
I would say it had to do with figuring it out what needed to be done. There was an expression Jim Rohn had that your income will be the average of the five people you most hang around with. And I'm realizing, well, okay, who am I hanging around with? What books am I reading? What books are they reading? Mm. What are they doing in business? What is the philosophy they're operating by? And I started reading, connecting, going to seminars, going to workshops, looking at what was going on with me and that had me be in this situation. Because the funniest part about learning was I became chartered as a life underwriter in the insurance business, certified as a financial planner, owned a pension administration company, helping business owners save thousands and thousands of dollars in their taxes. And I didn't know how to do a personal budget.
Mm.
And the saddest part, I guess it gets me a little angry, but basic money skills, which all of us have to deal with, aren't taught in high school, aren't taught in college. Even worse, I've spoken to CPAs as well. I knew it wasn't a part of my financial planning education, but even CPAs aren't taught how to teach their clients mm-hmm. how to budget. And I've even helped some CPAs through bankruptcy. I mean, it's a travesty that you get an education, you're supposed to get a job or start a career or become an entrepreneur or whatever, and no institution provides educational help with handling money effectively.
Yeah.
I finally dug it up from enough sources, put it together, which is how I created the Wealth on Any Income book. And what I realized is there's two components. The first is the emotional stuff. Hollywood indoctrinates us to be poor. Mm. If you want to become conscious to what movies do, like Titanic, who is the good person? It's Jack, the poor guy who's living in the bowels of the ship. And Rose is attracted to him because he's the good guy, or her fiance is rich and is disgusting and evil.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to Jimmy Stewart's A Wonderful Life. And who's the evil person? It's the guy with all the money in the wheelchair who steals $5,000 from the uncle and wants to destroy Jimmy Stewart's savings and loan. Jimmy Stewart's poor. He's the good guy. The evil person is the rich guy. Jack and the Beanstalk. I mean, you go through Hollywood,
right.
Fairy tales. We're being indoctrinated that good people are poor and the rich people are disgusting, ugly, evil, and they might as well be thieves.
Yeah.
So when you come from that kind of indoctrination, you think, oh, well, if I get money, I'll be a bad person. Well, I like Warren Buffett's quote. He says, of the people that I've known, money brings out their basic traits.
Exactly.
And if they were jerks before, when they become billionaires, they're just jerks with a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is, if you're good now and you become rich, you'll still be good. It's not something to fear.
More money makes you more of who you are.
Yes.
Yeah. One of my favorite Joe Polish quotes says this: those that say that money can't buy happiness just haven't given enough away.
Mm. Oh, goodness. That's beautiful. Oh, I love that.
Right. And what I love is that it promotes this idea of abundance, number one. And, you know, that there is this law of attraction and allowing and giving and gratitude, where when you give more, the more you give, the more that the universe and God brings back into your life, right? And it's not a perfect formula, but, you know, it feels really good. And there is this abundance that comes when you are willing to give, both of yourself and financially. So I think that is so spot on, that you're right. There is this glorification of working really hard, but yet barely scraping by, and that, you know, money equals greed. And, you know, we've heard, if any of you have grown up in the church, you've heard, you know, that the root of all evil is money, or the money is the root of all evil. No. What that scripture verse actually says is the love of money is the root of all evil, right? When you value money, greed, over people, that is when it becomes a problem. And so, you know, we have a responsibility as entrepreneurs to make as much money as humanly possible. Why? A, so we stay in business and we can continue to bless other people with what we do. And B, we have a lot more money to give away. All right. That was my own rant. Rennie, I apologize. Is component number two?
There's nothing to apologize for. I mean, you've given me so much value already just from being able to speed up videos to, gosh, I forgot what the other thing was already, but.
We talked a little bit about some Zoom, some Zoom strategy.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I'm full of strategic. Strategic's in my top five too.
Cool.
So, okay. So tell us about component number two that kind of sets us up for failure in a lot of ways.
Well, it's buying into various myths that are rampant in the culture. Everything from if you waste a little bit of money, it doesn't matter, to you need to be debt free or pay off credit cards before you focus on wealth. And they're so completely misguided. I guess things like when Susie Orman talks about the first thing to do is get rid of your credit cards. No, I mean, if you want to create assets, it'll generate an income so you don't have to work anymore. You need to begin saving and investing first, not paying off credit cards. It's the difference between, this is beautiful. You're going to be in a bodybuilding competition, okay? Now, did you develop muscles by lifting weights?
Well, yes, I did.
Of course. but now if I said, if you want to be strong, I'm not talking about lifting weights, diet. Is that going to help you build muscles?
No, but it will help me lean out.
It'll help you lean out. But to build muscles, you have to lift weights. If you want a diet, that has to do with losing weight. It doesn't have to do with building muscles. It's the same thing. If you focus on paying off credit card debts, it's like dieting. Mm-hmm. And if you want to build muscles in the investment arena, you've got to start savings and investing. I've got a graph in my book that I think that illustrates it the best. It says, if you wait 2 years just to pay off $6,000 of debt at $300 a month, down the road, let's say 30 years, hopefully some of your listeners are young enough that this will resonate. Down the road, that $300 a month that you waited 2 years before you started investing cost you $200,000 in lost investment earnings. A $6,000 debt that you paid off cost you $200,000 because you waited 2 years to pay it off. So when I started investing, I had credit card debt. I focused on building up assets and not paying off the debt. Now the income from my investments pays my credit card bills in full.
Beautiful. So here's what I love is that when there are a lot of people who teach and coach on finances, whether that's business finances or personal finances or both. And when we look at what makes us so special in our particular fields, this is one of the things, Rennie, that I think really sets you apart is that learner piece. Like you're pulling together all of the learning that you did, right? With this purpose-driven, like this isn't right. And belief again is all about, you know, noting what is right and what is wrong. It has a really strong sense of that. Like this isn't right that this isn't taught. I'm going to go learn it all and I'm going to pull it together so that I can teach, right? Learners love to learn. They also love to teach so that I can help other people to not go through what I went through. And that purpose it just drives you along. And I think that is just incredible. So business owners, right? We all have challenges. And you have an interesting challenge, but I really love this challenge because it points back to some shoulds that we might be carrying. So why don't you tell us the biggest challenge that you're having in your business right now?
Well, I'm gonna phrase it this way. I realized at some point in time, I love working with groups. I've been teaching at UCLA for 25 years based on the book that I wrote. I teach how to buy and manage apartment buildings at UCLA. I get energy when I'm working with groups. It's like a back and forth process. They bring up questions. They bring up ideas. They bring up experiences they've had that enrich everybody in the room. And so the group dynamic I love. And the challenge has been years ago, I used to do one-on-one coaching. Primarily, my clients were financial planning firms or accounting firms, the individuals in those firms. I truly got burnt out doing one-on-one coaching. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was just waiting for my last client to drop off. And when he finally said, well, you know, I think we've gone as far as I need to go or want to go. And I said, oh, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. You know, I did my best to hide that, but I realized I don't like doing one-on-one coaching, not willing to do one-on-one coaching. And I'm thinking, well, I probably should do it in this area, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
I just like working with groups.
It's funny. And then there's guilt that comes out of the shoulds, right? And so as you're listening to Rennie's challenge, I want you to start thinking about what are the shoulds that have come up for you? Because we want to look at those with a different lens, our lens of our strengths. When we feel like we should do something X, Y, and Z, it's because usually of what other people put on us. Now let's look at how your strengths thrive, right? So when our strengths aren't being engaged, the things, the tasks, the things that we do will drain us. And when they are engaged, they will excite us. They will give us energy and they will bring energy to other people. That's how we know our strengths themes have become strengths. And if they're draining us, they are not strengths. So activator, for instance, is an influencing theme. Activator loves to get the crew up and moving, right? So it makes sense that you love this group atmosphere where you can see and feel the energy in the room when you're talking to a group of people. Now, add in strategic. You're thinking efficiency. Well, of course, it is more efficient if I have the same things to teach, right, that are across the board. Why wouldn't I teach that to more than one person at a time? Efficiency and impact, right? So those things make sense, and they're going to be energized by that group format. And so then your belief, like your purpose is to help more and more people to understand, you know, how to break these myths and to learn the right way so that they can truly create their own wealth. Well, if you're doing that one at a time, do the math. Like there's only so many people you can impact. So all of your themes come together and they think, one-on-one coaching, ugh. And yet you've got this guilty thing on your shoulder saying, well, maybe I should do this because other people are doing this. And, you know, what if I should? And so I'm going to encourage you, Rennie, to just like release that, because your strengths, the way you're wired and with what you have and the experience you have and what you have to share, of course, the group format is going to just light you up, because now you can bring your wisdom, your experience, your teaching to a larger group of people, a larger number of people. And that just makes more sense. So I'm going to ask you to give up and release one-on-one coaching.
Okay. I give up and I release the idea that I need to be doing one-on-one coaching.
Awesome.
Thank you, Melissa.
You are welcome. You are welcome. And you know, so when we give ourselves permission, and you guys can't see Rennie's face, but I can, because we're on Zoom right now as we record this. You can see the light. You can see the relief. You can see the freedom when you begin to say, hey, what do my strengths need? And how can I allow my strengths to thrive? This is what happens, is we get to release the stuff that weighs us down and we get to really leverage our strengths. This is why I love strengths, you guys, so much, because we can leverage that. And now, Rennie, you have the opportunity to have more and more impact to a larger number of people. So you do this group coaching. Do you run people through tell us a little bit about your group coaching program, or if you have a couple of them, what do those look like?
I have the group coaching program that I have is a continuation of the course that I teach. And I've got a program called 9 Days to Financial Freedom. It's not that people will become financially free in 9 days, but they can go through the program in 9 days, because the modules are short. It's like 9 to 18 minutes. So in 9 days, they've gone through the course. And then for the next 12 months, as a group, we continue refining, working, dealing with the challenges, setting the goals, supporting one another, and moving together as a group for the next 12 months. So that's how it works.
Excellent. So, and do you run more than one group at a time, or do you only admit your students once a year?
I will run a second group, but right now I'm only running one. And you gave me such fabulous information. As an example, there is a client I've been coaching one-on-one. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it because I know what she's capable of. And so I'm doing it for free. And then when I get her to the results that I know she's capable of, she'll write a check to the charity.
Awesome.
And that's the agreement we made. But the one-on-one is draining me. And I just realized, well, why don't I just roll her into the group?
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah. But it came out of having a conversation with you that I realized, oh, there's the solution.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And again, like the freedom in that, like, oh, if I just honor my strengths and leverage my strengths, now it all makes sense. You let your strategic go, well, how can I solve this problem? And you got right to it, which is amazing. So do you know when your next group will launch? And also, how can people get a hold of your 9 days to financial freedom?
They can get a hold of me through wealthonanyincome.com.
Okay, great.
Has my email. They could see videos. I've got $1,000 worth of business building tools they can have for free if they opt in, so that they can get all that stuff. About 3, maybe sometimes 4 times a month, I will send out an email with some financial tips on it. So that's the easiest thing. Go to wealthonanyincome.com, opt in, get free tools, watch videos, and we can stay connected. And my guess is the next course will be in June.
Okay, great. Well, and this, we always provide a little bit of space and time for these live coaching sessions to have implementation time. So your episode is going to go live in July here. And so you may be already into, as you guys are hearing this live, you may be already into this next program. Are you planning on launching what would be really cool, and this is my strategic coming in here now, is launching a group every quarter. And so you kind of have this rolling group that you get to kind of lead along the way. And maybe you decide to do it once every 6 months or what have you. But that could give you that little spice of life, right? A new group coming in with that new energy as well. So I'm curious. I'm hoping actually that by the time this goes live, that on your website, you have a waiting list that people can join.
I accept that. That is a great idea. I will do that as a new program rolling quarterly, because there are a lot of people who have said they want to support me with the program as JV partners, as affiliates. And I just didn't have the structure in place on how to do it until you just made that suggestion.
Yes. I love that. Okay. So now you guys must go to his website, because you have to see whether he has created his wait list. Dun, dun, dun. I'm so excited. So excited for you, Rennie, because now you get to impact 4 times as many people,
yes,
right? Instead of just once a year. So I'm super excited about that. I'm super excited about the financial tools that you give people for free. And I love that generosity, right, of giving real value to people who aren't yet clients and customers. So get over to Rennie's website. I want you to get some of his free tools there, and I want you to sign up for his wait list. Make sure it's there. I'm going to be checking in as well. And Wealth Can't Wait, which is a David Osborne book, but you know, it can't, we have a responsibility to make money, to be wealthy so that the good people that we are, we can give more of that to this world. So if you're in financial straits, now is the time to start taking full responsibility for that and digging yourself out to not just be out of debt, but to be wealthy, to create that wealth. And Rennie is your guy.
Thank you, Alyssa.
So Rennie, thank you so much for coming on. Again, the website is wealthonanyincome.com. Any last words of advice, any last words of wisdom for the folks who are listening?
Gosh, you know, yeah, there's a quote that I've made up a lot of quotes, but this one I think is the most powerful, and that's wealth is a team sport, not a solo sport. Mm. And I didn't get to where I am trying to do it by myself. No one of any consequence who's created wealth has done it by themselves. I don't care if you're Steve Jobs, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates. None of these people did it by themselves. And that's why I say wealth is a team sport, not a solo sport. And it, maybe that's why I also love the group coaching model, because we're all doing it together.
Yeah, we are better together. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. This has been incredibly valuable for me. And I'm excited to take a look at some of your tools and start implementing some of your tools for me, for my personal and for my business as well. You've been wonderful. I can't wait to catch up with you in another couple months here.
You got it, Alyssa. Thank you.
And now it's time for the podcast recommendation of the week. This week, Rennie and I talked about how to do more, affect more, impact more people with your time. So I thought it very apropos to have the podcast recommendation of the week be on how to scale your business. So the recommendation this week is the Scale Your Business Radio Podcast. That's with Jeff Hoffman, who is the founder of Priceline.com and who, side note, is going to be on this podcast. We're just trying to figure out scheduling, and also David Finkel. This is a great podcast because each episode tackles a different type of company and how to scale those businesses. Also, tips and tactics on scaling certain parts of your business, etc. It's really great. The episodes are nice and short, and I think you'll really enjoy it. I know I do. You can find Scale Your Business Radio on iTunes or anywhere else you like to listen to podcasts. I'm so glad you joined us today. Thank you. If you're ready to dive deeper into your own awesomeness and move forward beyond the frustrations that might be holding you back, visit daretosucceed.com to grab your free sample of my book, From Frustrated to Frickin' Awesome, 4 Steps to Achieve the Success You're Wired For. Until next time, keep being frickin' awesome.